It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey now, welcome to the Winnipeg Sports Talk post-game reaction video. I'm your host, Michael Remus. I'm going to be joined soon by Connor Rabchak, recapping Game 4 of the Winnipeg Jets first-round series against the Colorado Avalanche, where the Jets lost by a score of 5-1. Colorado leads the series now 3-1. Game 5 is here in Winnipeg on Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. start. Before we get into it, I just want to acknowledge our Game 3 post-game. I went a bit too long expressing my frustration with perceived inconsistency in officiating. And I think it took away from our discussion on the actual game, where we repeatedly said the Jets did not play well enough to win and the Avalanche had been the better team throughout the series. I took many L's in the comments from Avalanche fans, and I'm going to be a lot better moving forward. But having said that, all those comments, the thumbs ups, really helps the channel grow. So if you have a thought on the game, the Jets, the Avs, please leave them. I do read everyone, and I'll get back to you. Connor, what's going on? How are you feeling here after a nice little afternoon matinee hockey?
Yeah, I don't mind an afternoon game whatsoever. You're an absolute trooper for reading all of those comments after Game 3, because the Avalanche fans made themselves heard. Even though this is Winnipeg Sports Talk, they travel well, let's just say. And another game where very similar to Game 3, where the Jets were, or every game in this series, not even just Game 3, where the Jets were the second best team on the ice.
Yeah, I actually texted you during the game. I'm like, am I watching Game 3 right now when they started going to the penalty box? Before we get into what happened on the ice, a couple pregame storylines. Brendan Dillon out with that hand injury from the end of last game. Logan Stanley put in. David Gustafson out, and they called up Axel Janssen Fjällby, and he was in. Cole Perfetti, a healthy scratch, and they made some changes on the lines. Nito Niederreiter switching spots with Nikolai Ehlers. The Avalanche had one change. Nikolai Kovalenko, son of Avs / Nordiques legend Andre Kovalenko, he got in and called up from the AHL's Colorado Eagles. And Joel Kiviranta out with injury. Your thoughts, Connor, on the line changes coming into the game?
Well, I must say I didn't like them. And a lot of people on Twitter didn't as well. And they were kind of vindicated with how the game played out. Mm-hmm. A lot of people wanted to see Cole Perfetti in the lineup. I think we'll see him in Game 5, given how this game went. I don't mind Axel Janssen Fjällby for David Gustafson as a speed element. The Jets are clearly the slower team in the series, so adding some speed, adding some forechecking, getting him in. But we talked about it on the last postgame show. I thought Nate Schmidt was great in replacement of Logan Stanley because of that puck-moving factor, because of the offensive factor trying to match up with the Avalanche. And then Brendan Dillon goes down with that injury, an unfortunate and fluky injury at the end of the game there. And Logan Stanley's the guy to come back in. I would have liked to see Colin Miller. The Avs' forecheck has been their bread and butter this series. Their transition play and their forecheck, they're just decimating the Jets. And those are two things that Logan Stanley has really struggled with, is foot speed, keeping up with one of the fastest teams in the league, and getting pucks out, moving the puck against this forecheck. And he struggled again in this game, took a few penalties. So if Brendan Dillon's not healthy for Game 5, I'd like to see Colin Miller. I'd like to see Cole Perfetti. I would have liked to see them in this game as well, given how Game 3 went. But that was the lineup decision that was made, and the result was the result. Excuse me.
Yeah, for a team that had struggled to score in two games, you think Cole Perfetti, who scored 19 goals during the year, could help you with that. The Jets only scored one goal in this game, and now have 5 goals in the 3 games since they scored 7 goals in Game 1. The other one, I was actually really surprised that they took Nino Niederreiter off the Lowry-Albelton line. It just seemed like those guys were locked together, and they didn't change them all year. for them to finally make that change in a, I don't want to call this a must-win playoff game because you're not eliminated, but I mean, to even the series, it was a pretty, it was the biggest game of the year. I was surprised they just went to that change at this point after resisting it all year. And, you know, if you have, you could have three really solid scoring lines if you would have had Perfetti in there, you know, whatever combination you want, but they're kind of going for the two, you know, top six, bottom six. And you know, if your top six aren't scoring, you're definitely not getting scoring from the bottom six. And that's kind of how it shook out. But we'll get to the game here. Puck drops, and you think the Jets are going to come out like gangbusters, like, you know, Dallas did in their must-win game last night. We didn't see that at all. It reminded me a lot of game one. The Jets outshot 11-1 in the first, like, 10 minutes. And yeah, it just wasn't, you know, Connor Hellebuck standing on his head, and it just wasn't a great start for the Jets.
And then, yeah, Arturi Lehkonen gets the opening goal on the heels of that. The Jets killer, Arturi Lehkonen, who's having a fantastic series for the Avalanche. Him and Casey Mittelstadt on that second line are just are cooking offensively. And this goal, actually, from Lehkonen was a really nice play from Mittelstadt below the goal line. I think it kind of went underrated because there were so many chances and then they just scored. And I mean, obviously, as like Jets viewers, you're not really looking at the other team and the nice plays that they're making below the goal line. But Mittelstadt's been great in this series. He was great on that goal. And Lehkonen, yeah, can't say enough good things about how good he's been for the Avs. But yeah, another brutal start, 11-1 the shots. And then the period completely flips from this point forward. It was really, really a tale of two periods. But the start was terrible, and then they made up for it. It was weird.
It's kind of funny you mentioned Lehkonen as the Jets goal. I'm like, well, which one is it? I mean, who do you want to name? It seems like everyone on the Avs are putting up points. And, you know, Lehkonen, Mittelstadt, and just going on that goal, you know, the puck goes down low. Stanley, I think there's some miscommunication there with him and Alex Iafallo. I think he thought Iafallo was going to go to the boards. Iafallo went to the middle. Stanley threw it back to him. I think it was Parise who threw it down to Mittelstadt down low. And Lehkonen left all alone. That's Nate Schmidt's guy in front. And he puts it in. Yeah, the Jets are losing 12-2 shots 11 minutes into the period. Really have struggled. Like, they've struggled most of the series. Can't get it out of their own end. You know, they keep dumping it out to the middle. Colorado's coming back in with speed. You can't, you know, get it because you can't get it out. You can't get it into their end. And Colorado's just bringing shot after shot. And Hellebuck really had to stand on their head. But you know, the Jets, as you said, flipped the script there. The shots were 12-2 at that point. They ended 12-9 at the end of the period. And the Jets get on the board. You know, Logan Stanley, beautiful stretch pass to Appleton, enters the zone with speed. He goes wide, drops it to Nate Schmidt, and he goes top shelf. Tie game, or was it? Offside review.
Right.
Looks like Kyle Connor kind of looped in while Appleton enters the zone. What did you think of that review when they showed it on TV?
So originally, first replay, I thought it was offside. And all the people I was watching the game with, we thought it was offside. We were like, oh, great, that's coming back. But the more replays you saw, the more I was like, oh, that's a little close. And then, like, I still think it was offside. Like, I still think this shouldn't have counted. But they went with the, it was inconclusive. And I can see how they got to that. Like, the replays were, the best replay they had was from the far side that Appleton was on. And you could, like, barely see where the puck was and the edge of the skate. Like, and yeah, they have every camera angle available and they can freeze frame multiple angles at once. Like, they have more information than the TV broadcast does. And they ruled it inconclusive. So I thought it was offside. I still think it was offside, but the Jets get on the board nonetheless. Nate Schmidt, that pairing led up the goal to start the game. They had a few really rough shifts, but then obviously Nate Schmidt jumping into the rush with a nice shot. And yeah, the Jets flipped the script, like you said, and Schmidt got on the board, and it was a 1-1 game, kind of a clean slate hitting into the second period, where like the third period in game three, everything fell apart.
Yeah, and I thought they were going to overturn it, but like they didn't really have a good view. The views they showed on TV were so blurry.
Yeah.
You couldn't see, and I retweeted this tweet from Down Goes Brown, Sean McIndoo. He says, you can't tell if that's offside because the NHL's offside camera, which exists solely for the purpose of offside reviews, does not show if it's offside. And I'll just weigh in and say, get rid of these reviews. I mean, like, it was offside by a millimeter. If it was, like, it has no effect on the play.
Yeah.
I think we've shown those refs are pretty good at these. And, you know, I think they're pretty good. And, you know, the Jets get on a power play, big bonus for them. And just like all night, they weren't able to get anything going, had trouble generating shots on the power play. But, you know, they go into the second period, and all of a sudden it's a new game, tie game. And you're like, okay, maybe they can, you know, if they keep playing like the second half of that period, or like they did for two periods yesterday, maybe they can get back in and send it home 2-2.
Yeah, that's the hope, is that they carry the momentum, right? But like I said, like period three of game three, it was a parade to the penalty box. No word about the officiating here. These were all pretty legit penalties, like undisciplined from the Jets.
Yeah.
is one way I describe this period in a big way. And look, like, the penalty kill has to step up and kill some of these penalties. You can, like, if you're the Jets players, you can be mad about a call here and there all you want, but when the Avs power play is clicking along at like near 50% in the series, it doesn't really matter. They're going to score on their chances. They're going to get power plays. And when you're getting shelled the way they were in the first 10 minutes and in this second period, and you're constantly chasing the game, you're going to take penalties as well. That's what happened. And the penalty kill didn't really step up. And this period was just a disaster from start to finish.
Yeah. And when you don't have the puck and you're trying to get it back, you're chasing them around, you're going to take penalties. It's going to happen. And Logan Stanley took the first of his two, got tangled up with Duhaime behind the net, called for roughing. And Logan Stanley, 6'7". I mean, his elbows are going to get in there, but they did clear that one. And, you know, they actually started off the second period with a couple chances. It was Monahan had a shot to Foley, followed up, and Monahan had another one in tight, but wasn't enough. And, you know, and again, it was just a shooting gallery. After that power play, Jets getting outshot 17-11, 5 minutes in. And, you know, Logan Stanley in for this game. He's already got one penalty, takes another. Puck's in the corner. You know, I don't know if Stanley didn't know who had the puck. He hit the guy who didn't have it, and he's on he goes to the box, and another Avalanche power play. You give these guys chances, they're going to score. However, they did not score on this one. McKinnon had a pick play on Namestnikov. Yeah. Took the stick out of his hand, and it's 4-on-4. The Jets now get another minute of power play time. Can't really generate anything. And another penalty was Namestnikov. Holding penalty. The Jets penalty kill, they're holding up 2-for-2, but you can't keep going to the box. And it was, they've done this like so many times in the series. Cale Makar, he just knows how to find a lane. He shoots it, and it's Lehkonen or Nikushkin, take your pick. They're both in I formation in front, and he tips it in. I mean, they've just perfected this, Connor.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason they're top five power play unit in the league, and maybe in the playoffs they have a top three, top two, maybe the best power play unit, them or the Oilers. I don't know. Like, just superstars all over the place. But Cale Makar drifting to his right, he walks the line better than anyone in the NHL. And yeah, he's incredibly great at finding shooting lanes. Like, I don't see many of his shots blocked ever, even at even strength. And then on the power play, when you're trying to pick off passes and get in passing lanes, the shooting lanes are there. Valanchushkin's a really big human being. He's standing right in front of Connor Hellebuck, and he's got great hands as well, finishing it off. And yeah, the power play, that's why they have so many threats. That's not even mentioning McKinnon and Rantanen, who are 200-point players. One's going to win the heart on the outside. That's just, like you said, pure I formation. Cale Makar, Lehkonen, and Nichushkin doing damage on the power play.
Yeah, and Connor Hellebuck, I got to mention, he's standing on his head at this point. Like, before that power play, McKinnon had a tip chance in front. You know, the Jets catch a break. Pionk high-sticked McKinnon, and there was no call on that one. Scheifele, you know, he tried to keep it at the blue line, and it went the other way. Lehkonen got robbed. Manson got the rebound, and Casey Mittelstadt actually raised his arms thinking it was going to be in. That's how great of a save it was. But after that, then that was before the power play. After the power play, I mean, they keep going one timer after one timer. McKinnon, he's got a 90 mile an hour one timer, and Nikushkin shoots it wide. Mittelstadt, you know, picks it up off a turnover, off Hellebuck's mask. And all Avs, I mean, the shots, they were pretty even starting the period, but at this point it's 26-13, and Cale Makar takes over here.
Oh, my goodness.
Highlight reel goal. I mean, just shows you why he's one of the top guys. How about this goal from Cale Makar, end-to-end rush, goes through the entire team. I mean, Nemestikov tries to stick left. Lowry whiffs on him. I don't know if he's trying to hit him or go for the puck. Not a good look, and Cale Makar wires it. Top shelf.
Yeah, and like you said, to this point, Connor Hellebuck's standing on his head. I looked at the money puck deserved a winnow meter at this point because, like you said, it was just a barrage. Like, it looked like he was just making incredible save after incredible save. Somehow it was still 2-1. It was like 90% in the Avs' favor in terms of like expected goals. So if you're blaming Connor Hellebuck, that's not the place to go for game four. But this goal from Cale Makar was incredible. The panel was talking about at the end of the second, after this goal, how he's like a modern day Bobby Orr and he's like one of the greatest defensemen of all time. And you can't, like, one of the most talented. Obviously, his legacy will push him into that greatest conversation eventually, but you can't even like deny that. Like, how many defensemen in the history of the sport can do that? That's unbelievable. Going end to end, dangling through three guys, stopping up, and then beating the Vezina goaltender with a picture perfect shot over the blocker posting it. Like, he is without a doubt one of my favorite players to watch in the NHL, him and Nathan MacKinnon, and it's for reasons like that. He just they like waved off an icing too, and he was kind of mad about it as he was going back, and then he just skated the length of the ice, went through three guys, and went posting it. Like, it just looks so casual. And so, like, yeah, I didn't like that you waved off the icing, so I'm gonna go through your entire team. It was hilarious. But what a goal. One of the goals of the playoffs, for sure.
It looked like the Jets and the Avs were playing two different sports in this period. Yes. The Avs just, they look so much faster than the Jets. Looked like the Jets are skating in quicksand. And, I mean, as the second period's winding down, they're getting outshot 27-14. You know, they're losing 3-1. And you mentioned expect goals, like the money puck deserved to win-o-meter. As the Avs 89.5% and the Jets 10.5%, and that's pretty accurate. I think it might even be generous for the Jets here, but the parade to the penalty box continues. Nino gets tangled up with Sean Walker, and you know, I don't think he was trying to be secretive about this. Elbow his helmet off, gets penalty for roughing, and he just can't be doing that kind of stuff. They caught him. And I mean, Rantanen, Makar, MacKinnon, I mean, these guys are world-class players. They went to work on the Jets' penalty kill, which had done well to start, but eventually was going to break. And Nikushkin, for his second, wires home a rebound. And what is it, 4-1 at this point? And just, the Jets just really generated nothing at all in that period.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this series is 3-1. It's not over, but assuming the Jets do lose, whether that's game five or at any point, what I think it's going to be defined by is these stretches of penalties and just an utter collapse from the penalty kill. I think that those moments, it's period three and game three. It's the second period of this game, and they weren't even shorthanded for any of them, but the collapse for the last 5 minutes in game two of the second period where they were up 2-1, and then went into the third period down 4-2. Like, these little short spurts of a collapse, whether they're penalty aided, whether it's Connor Hellebuck playing the puck in the case of game two, whatever the case may be, whether you're up 7-4 in game one and they come back and make it 7-6 and almost score at the end of the game. Like, there's these moments where the Avalanche are just coming in waves and the Jets don't know how to handle it. And I think that is what is define the series up until this point. Outside of those moments, this is a pretty even series. Like, the first period was flipped back and forth, and then the third period, like, the Avs kind of just took their foot off the pedal. But you look back at game two going into the third period, game three, Jets were up 2-1, then they collapse in the third. This game, they just collapse like completely in the second. Like, it's just these periods or these 10-minute stretches of just collapses from the Jets that are their Achilles heel in this series. And it's what the Avs do. They come in waves and eventually you're going to break.
Yeah. Again, it felt like I was watching the third period of game three, just the penalties over and over, the power play goals. And at this point, the game was pretty much over.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Jordan Brossois started in goal for the third period. Give Hellebuck a break. I mean, he did what he could. Mercy pull. You don't need to keep him in there. I don't know what your opinion was of.
Yeah, no, I like that. Take him out. Like, the team in front of him is not doing him any favors. Take him out. Rest him up for game five.
And then they did make some line changes. You noted on X, formerly known as Twitter, Connor, Shafley, Ehlers, Axel with Monahan and Toffoli, Fowler, Lowry, Appleton, Niederreiter, Nemestikov with Vilardi. I don't know what you made of any of these changes.
Well, one thing that is interesting, I didn't make anything of these changes in the moment. I just take this as Rick Bowness just kind of putting the lines in a blender and doing whatever. But taking a longer-term view of this, going into game five, if you plug Cole Perfetti into Axel Janssen-Fjällby's spot, maybe that's the lineup you'll see in game five on that second line alongside Monahan and Toffoli, was it, on the second line?
Yes.
I that's what I think they might have been molding, or not, or this was just like a complete spark for offense. But I do like the Connor Scheifele-Ehlers trio. You need more offense. You need more goals in this series, and they're going to get you goals. I think maybe they're molding it for Cole Perfetti to step in on that second line, and I didn't mind them. What did you think of those line changes in the third?
I mean, I don't want to say I tuned out in the third period, but it was hard. The game was kind of over. Like, it's hard to take anything seriously. I don't know if the Avs, like, I didn't take anything away from the third period. The game was, it was fair pretty enough. Clear. It was over. The Jets had a couple, power plays, on a hooking call. You know, they really didn't get anything going on the power play either. I think they had four shots total on the four power plays. Jack Johnson had an interference on Ehlers. We do have to mention there was a very scary moment with Nemestikov. A puck off the faceoff, hits a stick, and just hits him in the face. And he went down, did not move. Very scary. That was tough to watch.
Yeah, the gruesome injuries just don't stop for the Jets. So you had Brendan Dillon's hand where there was blood everywhere after game three. Yeah. This game, there's blood all over Nemestikov's jersey. You didn't get a good look of his face because he was down on the ice and then holding like a towel over it. But Rick Bowness said after the game that Nemestikov was taken to a local hospital and he was being evaluated. What that may or may not mean, I'm not sure. But yeah, very scary situation, and hoping for all the best for Nemestikov. You never want to see that. And Jets fans and the Jets organization and players are well familiar with players getting pucks to the head with the Brian Little situation. And every time you see things like this, you think of the Brian Little situation, and it's not fun. It's scary altogether. So hoping Nemestikov is all right.
Yeah, and he's a guy, he's wearing a visor, just gets under and gets him in the face. I mean, these deflected pucks are going fast. Scary game. I mean, that was totally scary, but... And the game winds down. Jets lose 5-1. Nikushkin gets the empty netter. The fans were very ready with the hats. I mean, they went on. I think they were on the ice before the puck went in, just about. And the Jets lose. They're down 5-1. I mean, tough spot. Down 3-1 in the series now. Coming back here for game five. They got what they deserved. They didn't play well in Colorado. They've scored, as I said, 5 goals now in the last 3 games. It's just nothing is working at all.
Absolutely not. And I think it goes back to what I said on our last post-game show, and that's the fact that the Jets haven't had a game where they've been the better team from start to finish in this, maybe game one, but the analytics and chances would all suggest that the Avs should have won that game, and Georgiev let in a lot of soft goals So yes, it's a playoff win and you definitely take that, but that's not a sustainable way to win. And it clearly hasn't been a sustainable way to win, as they've lost three straight games now, all by what, 5-2, 6-2, 5-1. Like, they're getting blown out. These games aren't close. So I think there's a lot of soul searching needs to be done that needs to be done in a short time, because game five is Tuesday night, in front of the Winnipeg Whiteout. Your season's on the line. You can expect a desperate group, but they weren't very desperate in this one. Or maybe they were, and they were over desperate and took too many penalties, chasing the game too much. I don't know what the cause was for the collapse in the second period, but they're going to have to stay out of the box if they want any chance to, let alone win game five, never mind win the series, because they simply haven't been the better team in this series. The Avs have been better in every single game, analytically speaking, and in the last three games. These haven't been close. These have been blowouts.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Any takeaways from the post-game comments from Rick? I was kind of curious which Rick Bowness we were going to see, if it was going to be similar to pushback from game five last year. Set just talked about, you know, they got to stay out of the box, mistakes with puck management. But I think it was Scheifele and Niederreiter talked about what their game plan. I don't know what you can take away from any of that. Just they haven't figured out how to slow down the Avs and generate anything at all. So we'll have to see, you know, what to make of. And as for lineup change, I'm assuming Namestnikov, he's probably going to be out, and Perfetti goes in. I'm just guessing that. I don't know where you land here.
I think that's a safe assumption, is that Perfetti draws in, whether it's for Namestnikov or someone else, or he moves up the lineup, whatever the case may be. As for the postgame comments, Mark Scheifele basically said, the Colorado Avalanche have made adjustments from who they were in the regular season and the team that the Jets swept in the regular season, and the Jets haven't. That's a pretty interesting comment. It's pretty telling, because it's clearly what has happened. The Avs have turned their game around. They've made adjustments. The Jets haven't, and they look slow. And then Rick Bowness, he said that there will be lineup changes. I don't know if that means Logan Stanley in or out of the lineup, or maybe Neil Pionk, or obviously Namestnikov is probably hurt for Tuesday, given the fact that the latest update we have is that he's in the hospital being evaluated. So we'll wait to see. They don't practice tomorrow, I don't believe. So we'll have to wait and see for Tuesday's morning skate to see what the lineup might be. He also was asked another thing about how they didn't pull the goalie when they had a power play with 6 minutes left, down 4-1, which kind of irked me. Like, his response was that the power play was looking so good that he didn't think he had to, because they were generating enough without the empty net. But I would have liked to see a last ditch effort there. You're down 4-1, you're down 2-1 in the series on the road, you get a power play with 6 minutes left. That's it. Like, if you don't score on that power play, the game is officially over, if it's not already. He sort of just said that he liked the way the power play looked, so he didn't feel the need to take it out. I don't know what you thought of waiting till like 2 minutes left to pull the goalie.
Yeah, you're seeing teams be more aggressive and do it earlier. The one thing that is also puzzling is he said Axel goes in because he can help on the penalty kill,
and then played
him 0 minutes on the penalty kill. Again, this team struggled to score. Cole Perfetti's done a pretty good job of that. 19 goals this year, maybe could have helped in that area. So we'll see. You know, that's it for game four. It was very similar to game three, except the collapse was a bit earlier in the second period than the third period. And the third period was a bit of a victory lap for the Avs. So we'll see what team shows up in game five, if we'll ever see the Winnipeg Jets team that we saw during the regular season, that limited scoring chances. That was the Jennings Trophy winner, and to try to extend the series on Tuesday. Connor, is that it? Are we done here? Any other last words? I think we've said it all.
Just one last thing. I think going forward, the Jets and their defensive structure has been very passive. Like, Mike Kelly, who's been on Winnipeg Sports Talk a few times, noted that their entry rate and their exit rate was like 92% or something. Like, they were just getting out of the zone whenever they wanted, however they wanted. And the Jets need to put more pressure. Rick Bowness talked at the start of this series saying, we don't want to give them too much respect. Like we got to recognize that these are really good players, but we can't just completely back up and give them all the ice that they want. But that's what's happening. Like Nathan MacKinnon and Makar, and even Arturi Lehkonen and Casey Mittelstadt, like these players are just waltzing into the zone without any pressure. And that's not Winnipeg Jets hockey. Like the Jets were a dominant neutral zone defense team in the regular season. And it seems that they've completely gone away from that. So I don't know if with their backs against the wall, they're going to get more aggressive and maybe you see a different Jets team in game five. But this series has been lost in the neutral zone for the Jets and with the Avs forecheck. And until they start to mitigate those losses a little bit, they're cooked. I hate to say it.
Yeah, the tweet from Mike Kelly, he's with NHL Network, does a lot of work with Sport Logic as well. He says the Avs are 92% on the zone exit attempts through 40 minutes. So basically they're just getting out of their zone so easy. And yep, they've won 63% of their puck battles, too fast, too furious. And there you have it.
Yeah.
Jets lose 5-1 in game four. Game five, Tuesday, 8:30. Connor Rabchak, I'm Michael Remus. This has been the Winnipeg Sports Talk post-game reaction. Bye-bye.